Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Mike Burns here from Florida. Thank you for tuning into our website today, and thank you for joining me for another great time in the Word of God. Today, we're going to be talking about God's attitude towards sickness and disease. I want you to get ready. It's going to be one of the most dynamic teachings you've ever heard. I love this message, and I'm going to bring it to you today. Get ready. All righty, everybody. Praise the Lord. If you are ready to receive this message on God's attitude towards sickness, I want to first tell you that sickness and disease exist today. There's no doubt about it. But the question is, why does sickness and disease exist? Well, I'm going to give you at least three reasons right now, and there's probably a multitude of reasons why. The first one is because of Adam and Eve and their original or initial sin. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." The Hebrew actually says there, thou shalt surely die, for in dying thou shalt die, for in dying thou shalt die. Adam literally became a door through which death came into the world. And as a result, sickness came into the world, and man's body became subject to physical death. Now, God saying, in dying you shall die, was speaking about the death or the separation of man's spirit from God. And as a result of man being separated or literally alienated from God's life, his physical body would begin to succumb to that broken relationship. Now, listen to what it says in Romans, the 5th chapter, and the 12th verse. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and notice this, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, this is from the Easy to Read translation. Listen to this. Sin came into the world because of what one man did. And with sin came death. So this is why all people must die, because all people have sinned. Now, that's the first reason, is because of Adam and Eve. They became a door through which death came, and death is the door through which sickness and disease has been allowed to affect people's bodies. But thank God for Jesus, because he's come to do something about it. Now, let me give you the second reason why sickness and disease exist in the world today. Because people, in many cases, are poor stewards of their physical bodies, especially when it comes to diet, exercise, and proper rest. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 say, "What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Notice it says here that you and I are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Some people say, well, I'm just glorifying God in my spirit. No, you're also supposed to bring glory to God in your physical body. And that means you're being a good steward. That means you're taking care of your physical body. Now, there's an example found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 30, speaking of a fellow by the name of Epaphroditus, who literally overworked himself and nearly died. Paul loved Epaphroditus. He was a great helper to Paul the Apostle. And Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh, speaking of Epaphroditus, he was near or nigh to death, not regarding his life. Why? To supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, Epaphroditus was trying to make up the slack as one individual, whereas a whole church at Philippi was lacking in what they could do to help Paul. He was trying to do other people's job, and it was his error, his mistake. And he was not, the Bible says here, regarding his life. The third reason that sickness exists, and this really applies a lot to Christians, is because they tend to have what I call a passive attitude towards sickness and disease. For instance, they say things like this: well, this sickness is a blessing from God. Or, God used this sickness to teach me so many things. I could not have learned any other way. Or, the day of miracles is over because we have doctors and medicine now. Well, my friend, let me say this to you, that you will never be healed with that kind of attitude. Instead, you need to adopt God's attitude towards sickness and disease. And that's what I want to speak to you about today. I want to talk to you about God's attitude towards sickness. Many of you might be surprised to even hear that God has an attitude about sickness. Some people even think that God doesn't mind it because they say he's not really doing anything about it. Well, the fact is, he's already done something about it. Praise God. Now, if you have your Bibles, and this is going to take you through the scriptures to build this case, in Mark, the 8th chapter, look at Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Now, it says about Jesus, he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up, the blind man did, and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Amen. Now, when I read these verses here in Mark, the 8th chapter, 22 through 26, there are three questions that arise, and I want to start to answer the first question today. The first question is, why did Jesus lead the blind man out of town to heal him? All right. Look at Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 20, down to verse number 23. It says, Then began he, meaning Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty miracles or most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And Jesus said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Now, here Jesus chooses three Jewish cities and rebukes them for their unbelief. They heard his preaching and saw his miracles, yet had not repented, nor had they accepted Jesus as their Messiah and received salvation. He compared them to the present and past Gentile cities that were filled with sexual perversion, idolatry, and heathenism. These were the cities of Tyre, Sidon, and the ancient city of Sodom. Jesus actually said these cities were better than the cities of Israel, because if these cities had seen the same miracles and heard the same preaching, they would have repented. Even at the great white throne judgment, Jesus said it will be more tolerable for the three heathen Gentile cities than for the Jewish cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Now, I want you to think of how this statement appeared to the Jewish mind. Jesus said Capernaum was exalted to heaven, but would be brought down to hell. Now, Capernaum was exalted to heaven because it was the city from which Jesus based his preaching and healing ministry. Basically, it was the hub of his ministry in Galilee. Let me tell you about Capernaum. Capernaum was the place where the leper was cleansed in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Then right after that, we have the centurion servant who was healed by his great faith. Remember, Jesus said, "I've not found so great faith in all of Israel." Then we see Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law who had a great fever. And then we saw a paralyzed man in Matthew, the 9th chapter, that was let down through the roof, carried by his friends, who was healed. Then we know of the woman with the issue of blood. She was healed here in Matthew, the 9th chapter, in the city of Capernaum. And then we see the daughter of Jairus, who was raised from the dead. Now, that's a whole lot of miracles right there. In spite of all these great miracles, this city of Capernaum was still gripped by religious cynicism and unbelief. These attitudes were clearly seen in the story of Jairus' daughter. In Matthew 9, 23 through 26, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. Note, here that this common practice of having professional mourners showing up at the homes of the recently deceased to weep and howl in grief. This was the last thing that Jairus needed to hear. In verse 24, he said to them, "Give place," Jesus said, "for the maid is not dead but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. Now listen, the fact that they laughed at Jesus' words showed their contempt for God and his mighty power to do what their minds could not conceive. But in verse 25, "But when the people were put forth, Jesus went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land." Now, the reason Jesus removed them was for the sake of Jairus. He had already begun to fear when he heard the report that his daughter was dead in Mark 5:36. Jesus did not want this man surrounded by the unbelief so rampant in Capernaum. Jesus separated him from unbelief. So here's a question. Why did Jesus lead the blind man by the hand out of the city to heal him? Well, the answer is quite simple. Because this blind man lived in the city of Bethsaida, another of the cities Jesus rebuked for its unbelief in Mark 8:22. Jesus separated the man from the unbelief of the city. Jesus did not want snide remarks and insults to be hurled at this man who was so young in faith. Now, Jesus could heal in the midst of unbelief, but this man could not maintain his healing surrounded by the ridicule of the city of Bethsaida in which he lived. Notice in Mark 8:26, "And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into this town, nor tell it to any in the town." Why? This was actually great advice given by Jesus to this blind man who had now been healed, but also to you and to me. See, to those who need healing, you must remove yourself from the village of unbelief. Yes, return home. At home, you can be alone and with God and to pray and study his word, but do not allow the influences of unbelieving friends, family, church members, or business associates to talk you out of what God has provided. See, God is asking you today, whose report will you believe? To believe his report, we must study it until it becomes a part of our lives. Then one day, we will become strong enough not only to live around unbelief, but to overcome it. Can you say amen, somebody? Hey, this is Pastor Mike Burns. You're on our website, mjbministries.org. And it's a joy to have these teachings. This is just the first part. I'm going to pick up in the next one on the second part here. And we'll be answering the question, why did Jesus spit on the blind man? All right. And we might actually take on the third question of why he prayed for him more than once. Now, please consider, these messages are absolutely free, no obligation. We're not selling them to you. But if you'd like to give an offering, we have on our website a page for giving. Simply go there, click on the giving page, and become either a partner or a one-time giver. It's all up to you. I would only ask that you'd pray about it and see if that's what the Lord would have you to do. Because we need partners. We need help financially to do all that we're doing right now. It costs money for all these things we're doing. It may not be a lot of money compared to some ministries who have expenses in the millions, but ours are significant for a smaller ministry that is just growing. So you could do that, or you could even text your gift to MJBMIN and then text that message to 45777. If you'll do that today, then I guarantee you, you'll have a link sent back to you. Click on that link, fill out your information in its entirety, and then you can make your gift either a one-time gift or a recurring gift. Amen. Now be sure, we have on this page also, I believe, or there'll be a link here shortly, of Constant Contact, where you could sign up for our free digital email newsletter that we'll send out to you. We're not sure how often we'll send it, probably just once a month to start. We'll see how it goes. But this newsletter will be a great resource that you can share with your friends and help spread the word about the good news of Jesus Christ through the ministry of MJB Ministries. My name is Michael J. Burns. I love you. Thank God for today and for being with us on this broadcast. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you in every way in Jesus' name. Amen.